Well, I'm thankful that we can give the battle to the Lord. It's bigger than we are. And I think the more we give ourselves and circumstances in the hands of the Lord, the better off we are, and the more the Lord can work. This morning I'd like to start off in a scripture in the book of Judges. Book of Judges, the 6th chapter, the account of Gideon. Some of us will remember Gideon. Judges, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse. Said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizrite, not sure how to pronounce that, Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Maybe we can stop there. I was thinking about this verse, how it said that they were impoverished. They were in a bad place compared to what they had at one time. And they would grow their crops, and the enemy would come in and take what they had grown. And took their beasts, took their livelihood. But the key to this is it said that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. That was the key. You know, God blessed the children of Israel when they put him first. When they served him with all their hearts and they were looking to him and giving themselves and they were obedient to him, God blessed them. You read it over and over in the Scripture. But then after a while you find out how that idols began to creep in. False gods began to raise up in the land. And then we find it gets to a point to where they are here. They did evil in the sight of the Lord because they were giving themselves, they weren't serving God like they should have been. And the Lord allowed things to come to get their attention. He allowed things, that's what He was wanting them to do, was to cry out unto the Lord. And that's what it got to the point. It said the children, Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They recognized they needed some help. They recognized that they didn't really have what they needed to have on hand. And they began to pray. They began to cry, Lord, we need You. We need Your help. We need Your blessing. We need Your strength. We need what we heard what You did for our forefathers. When You brought them out of the land of Egypt, we heard of all the great miracles that You've done. But Lord, we don't see those now. We're impoverished. The enemy is over us. You know, He told him, He said, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, what do You mean? look about us. What do You mean, mighty man of valor? Don't you see that we're impoverished? Don't you see that the devil is taking control? And don't you see that we have great and many needs? But the secret here was that they began to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord sent them a prophet to tell them what they should do. He sent a message and told them what to do. And He rehearsed to them, you know, when I brought you, I told you to be obedient to My voice. And He gave them the commandments. Said, it'd be well with you if you do these things. And if you seek Me first and put Me first. Well, we remember the story of Gideon, the account of Gideon, how the Lord began to work with Gideon and began to talk to him. But I want to notice verse 25. It said, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. This is why God wasn't blessing. This is why they were impoverished, right here. Because of all these other gods that they had, that they were, that had taken hold and that they were giving their allegiance to. And He told them, He said, go throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. I noticed any time that God began to work, it seems like, and I still see it today, when the idols began to get cut down. These people, they had their little idols, they had statues that they bowed themselves to, that they served, that they thought would bring them happiness, that they thought would bring them pleasures. They had their idols. Well, we have idols too today. You may not have a statue sitting in your living room that you bow yourself down to, but there are things in our life that we can allow in our lives that take on an exaggerated sense of importance to us as people. That becomes an idol to us. Anything that gets a stronghold in our hearts and our minds and takes a strong place in our affections, and we began to lose sight of God, and we began to just kind of pull God alongside of us, but yet we've got all these other things that we're giving ourselves to. God can't work. God, we're going to be impoverished spiritually. We're going to get in trouble spiritually living that kind of life. We have to do like the Lord commanded Gideon to do here. He said, go cut down the altar that was made unto Baal. You know, we have to allow, God has to be first place in our lives. He's Creator. He made the heaven and the earth. He made mankind. And He doesn't take second place. You know, we can put God second place. We can put other things. We give priority to other things. And we just kind of leave God kind of back there somewhere. And a lot of people, they have the mindset, they feel like they love God if they don't have any bitter feelings or any, you know, sometimes people think, well, I don't have any hard feelings against God, and I feel like the Lord is, the Lord's okay, and, I believe I really love the Lord, and I don't really, you know, I think it's a good thing and all that, but yet their heart is wrapped around so many other things. Their heart is entangled. It's estranged from God. To give us a real vivid picture this morning of what God senses and what God feels, I want us to think about our companions, our relationships, and what if I told my wife that, honey, I love you and I want to live with you and take care of you, but there's this other girl over here that I like. I like her a little bit too. And I'd like to, you know, have her 2 days of the week, but you can have the other 5 of my week. You know, who of us would stand for something like that? You know, or she said to me, you know, Bob, I like, you're a good guy, but I kind of like this fellow over here. He's pretty attractive and he seems to be a little more outgoing than what you are. And, you know, I love you, but I love him too. And I want him. How would we stand for that? We wouldn't do that. That's how God feels. That's exactly what God feels. He made us. He created us. And when our heart and our affection goes out to other things, that's the way He feels. He feels estranged. He feels, that we don't really care for Him. We don't really love Him. And rightfully so. We would feel that way. But when we have things that, and I want to say this happens, we've got to guard our hearts. There's a scripture that says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, our affections can begin to grow on something. It can begin to take a great high priority in our hearts, in our lives. And we want to be careful that God doesn't become second place in our lives. You know, the Lord is the only one that can really satisfy our inner, our spirit, our inner man. You know, this morning, if you're looking for your relationship and you're looking for your companion to satisfy the depths of your heart, your inner needs, it's not going to happen. You can have the best mate. You can have the best companion. She could be the most devoted to you in your life. But she's not able to fill the need in your soul. She's not able to give you the peace of God in your heart. She's not able to quench the thirst in your spirit that longs after God. Just like the woman at the well, you remember she came and wanted a drink of water. She was thirsty and she had many husbands. And she was hungry and thirsty. And that's the way it is this morning, that all these other things will not quench the need that we have in our spirit and our soul. Only God can do that. It's very important for us this morning to be careful that we don't allow other things to take precedence in our life. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy in life to begin to put God on the back burner. It's so easy just to go get so busy and attracted with life and the responsibilities of life and the cares of life, and we just kind of put God back there somewhere on the back burner. And then we get in the place like they got into, impoverished. And the devil begins to impose. And the enemy begins to blind the heart and the mind. And pretty soon they got to a place where they began to cry out to the Lord. And the first thing the Lord was pointing them to was get rid of the idols. If we want God to work in our lives, and I believe the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe He is just as powerful today as He was in years gone by. But I recognize there's a lot of idols. There's a lot of things that people are giving themselves to that hinder what God wants to do in our hearts and wants to do in our lives. And we've got to be in a place where where we're putting Him first in our hearts. And we're giving Him and we're seeking Him with all of our heart. There's a scripture in the New Testament that talks about It talks about flee these things, and it mentions covetousness, which says it is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Wanting more and more and more and more. You know, people are never satisfied. Material things, again, will not satisfy the need in your heart and spirit. People will not satisfy the needs of our heart and our spirit. Only God can do that. Only God's Spirit can satisfy the deep thirstings and cravings. A lot of people are hungering and starving and craving and reaching out. Why are they reaching out? Because their inner man, their soul, their spirit is wanting to be filled. And the devil's given them all these little pictures. You see, if you do this, you'll be happy and you'll be successful. If you do this, you'll be happy and you'll be successful and life will be good for you. But the devil doesn't point out that it doesn't really satisfy. He doesn't tell that part. He doesn't show you the consequences. All he shows you is he paints a pretty picture and he's a master at it. He'll paint it, oh, this looks good. This is it. And we go after that wholeheartedly. We kind of put God back behind on the burner back here, you might say. And finally we get it. We arrive. We get what we was longing after. And then pretty soon it's something else. That really don't satisfy. You know, the newness is gone now and that really don't. I'm going after something else. And people go from one thing to another through life, seeking. We got to be careful this morning where we allow our affections to go out to. The Scripture says, when the day you seek me with all of your heart, He said, I will be found of you. God is still faithful to His Word. The promises of God are still yea and amen to them that believe. They still work. But I have to be in a place to allow Him to work. I've got to get myself in a position. I've got to put my place subject unto Him and allow Him to work. And part of that is bringing my affections under control. And bringing my affections to Him and putting Him first place in my heart and my life. I think about the Scripture. It said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But He said, if it dies, it bears forth fruit. That's a little illustration for us, isn't it, this morning? Simple. But oh, it's so powerful and wonderful. You know, that little corn of wheat, a seed of wheat, any type of seed really, when it goes in the ground, the moisture begins to break down that outer shell. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If it doesn't die, it won't bring forth fruit. If it doesn't die, it won't live. But it dies. It begins to lose its identity. You know, when that outer shell begins to deteriorate and begins to break down, something new inside begins to germinate and receive moisture and is able to grow from that. And that's what Jesus told us. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies... You know, dying is not very easy. Death is not easy. I've never had to experience death in a literal sense where my life was leaving me. I've come, there's some time, pretty close places I thought I might be going to die. But I've never been in a prolonged illness that where I was facing death. You know, you got cancer and you got 3 months to live. That's it. I haven't been in that place. But death is not easy. To be able to let go is not easy. We as people, we like to hold on to. We like to keep. There's something about us, we like to put our roots down here, earthly. We like the earth. We like things. We like, and God created all of this. But this is the very thing that stands in our way in our relationship with Him many times is things. Putting things, the creation, ahead of the Creator. Abusing this world, not using it. You know, we take it too far. And we put these things, all these things in front of God. And the Lord, we don't know Him. We're not really acquainted with His voice. We don't really know who the Lord is because we've got all these other contending things that are taking precedence in our hearts and our minds. You know, I've heard of a count, and I've seen people go through the experience of death. And I remember one stands out in my mind. I've mentioned her before because I knew her, Sister Dorlela Beasley, a wonderful, wonderful saint, wonderful child of God, really loved her, appreciated her. But I saw her go through the experience of death. I was there when she passed. But for weeks, you know, she was diabetic and she lost her eyesight. Things got real blurry and she couldn't hardly see and she began to lose her eyesight. But I saw something happen in her spiritual life that was a marvel and a mystery and a wonder to me. I began to see her contact with God grow stronger and stronger. And I remember going to prayer meeting desiring to hear what she had to say because she was so in tune with God and what God was speaking to her. She was losing sight of the earthly things. Her earthly life was dwindling down. And she was losing sight, and her whole focus was on God and serving Him and hearing what He had to say. She was tuning all of her mind and her spirit and her heart in to what the Lord had to say to her. And the Lord began to reveal some things to her that she had never seen in her life. And it was because she was losing sight of all the earthly things and she was really seeking God with all of her heart. And God became real to her. And I believe she died ready to go. Ready to meet the Lord because she was in tune with what God was doing for her. And God began to reveal things to her. And I've seen it in other people too. I know another time that somebody was passing and I remember trying to go over there to be an encouragement to them. And I began to converse with them and talk to them and they were what I considered a good person. They went to church. They did things right. They lived right. They had good moral life. But I'll never forget when he looked in my eyes and he said, "Brother Bob, the Lord has told me that I've been a wicked and slothful servant." And then he went to enumerate three different times that the Lord had dealt strongly with him about doing a certain thing over and over. And he just seemed like he couldn't bring himself to do it. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't die. He couldn't give up. He just kept holding on to it. And then he said, "My life." He said, "I believe the Lord's forgiven me. But how different my life could have been." Folks, I want to say this morning that death is not easy. But we're going to face death. Every one of us here, if the Lord doesn't come first, we're going to face death. And you know what? We're going to have to let go of every earthly thing that we have. We're going to have to let go of every earthly relationship. We can't take it with us. I can't take my wife when I go. I guess if the Lord let us go at the same time, it'd be different. But even when we get over there, it's going to be different. But every earthly relationship is going to be severed. When I stand before God, I'm going to have to face Him. And I can't bring everything with me. All the things that I've given my life to, my bank account, my cars, my fishing poles, my tools, anything that I have, it's not going to go with me. It's going to be right there in the garage, right where I left it, right where Bob was using it last, wherever he was working on that. That's where it's going to be laying. And I'm going to be gone to stand before God and face Him. You know, when we face that hour that we're leaving this world, you know, I believe a lot of perspectives are going to change in life. I believe a lot of things that were once so important, now they don't seem to be quite so important. Oh, they seem to be so... I remember somebody telling about a man that had his boat. Oh, his boat was his pride and joy. Oh, he invested his time in it. There's nothing wrong with a boat, per se. You know, take it out on a lake and go fishing. Nothing wrong with the boat. But it was his pride and joy. That's what he anchored his time in, spent his time giving himself to, was his beautiful boat. But you know, when he realized he was leaving this earth, when he realized he was going to face God, when he realized that the boat wasn't going to go with him, you know what he did? He said, "Sell the boat. Get rid of the boat. Doesn't matter now. I'm not going to take it with me. Just get rid of the boat." You know, things, when we face that time and that hour, is going to look a little bit different. Lord, help us today to let go. Help us today to let loose. Help us today to be able to let go of things and focus our mind and our hearts and our attention upon the Lord and upon God. Lord, what would you want me to do? Apostle Paul, remember when he was there on the road to Damascus and the Lord struck him down. He said, what do you want me to do? I was a Pharisee. I've got this job back here and I've got this mission in Ammon and I'm doing all these things. And he just came to the point, forget it all. What do you want me to do with my life now? I'm putting that all aside. What do you want me to do? There's a scripture, and I believe it's in the book of Philippians. The same author, Apostle Paul, wrote this scripture. Verse 7, Philippians 3:7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. In other words, I'd count everything else. You see, he was a Pharisee. He had a reputation. He was well known. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a famous teacher. He had things going his direction. He had power. He had authority with men. That's what he was doing, was persecuting the church. Letters on the road to Damascus. But he came to the place, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he said here, what things were gained to me? Those things in the natural sense that looked like it was going to be my profit, my gain. He said, I came to the place where I counted it loss, that I may win Christ. You want to win Christ this morning? The price is the same. It's the same for every one of us. You remember the scripture where it talked about the pearl of the great price? What did he say? He found the pearl of the great price in a field, treasure hidden in a field. He said he went and sold what? He went and sold all the other treasures, pearls, to come and purchase this one. The price is the same for every one of us. Does that mean that literally I've got to go and sell everything I've got to be able to find Christ? I've got to go have a auctioneer to come through and I'm going to sell everything and just... No, it's not what he's talking about. But from the heart. And I tell you, this is where we get hung up sometimes. Because it's not easy, folks. I'm telling you. The affections of a man's heart, of a woman's heart, they begin to grow up, get out on things. And it's not easy. It's not easy to say, I count this as loss, that I may win Christ, and that I may have Him. But if you want to have the Lord's blessing, if you want to be able to make heaven your home, if you want to have God answer prayer for you and to be real in your heart and your life, you see, when we have all these other gods that are contending for God's place in our lives and God's on the back burner, it's just like God becomes unreal. Have you ever experienced that? It's like the Lord is really not talking to me. It's like the Lord is really not working in my life like at one time He did. It's like God's just distant. I'm not really receiving really what the Lord... And you know, I know people talk about, you know, how the Lord's blessing them and how the Lord's heard and answered their prayer, but it just seems so unreal to me. And we need to check this area of our lives. Are we giving our heart, our all to God and putting Him first in our lives? Or is He just something there on the back burner, kind of sitting by the wayside, so to speak, in our lives? He can be real to us, just like He was to Gideon. Said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They allowed all the other gods to take preeminence in their hearts and in their lives. Hannah Smith mentioned in one of her book, she talked about, as long as one shadow of our desire remains, there will be a shadow on the comprehension of God's will for our lives. You know, when we're seeking God's will for our lives, you know what we have to do? We have to consecrate. We have to yield ourselves to Him completely. We have to be willing to take our hands off and say, Lord, whatever Your will is for me, that's what I want to do. And if we don't do that, you know, the rich young ruler, Jesus recognized that young, he was another good young man, wasn't he? He said, I've kept all these commandments from my youth up. We'd look on his life and say, wow, he's a pretty good boy. Kept the Ten Commandments from his youth up. But there was something missing. And he knew it. And he was living under the old law. But he realized that there was something missing in his life. Do you ever get to that point? Do you ever feel that? Something's missing. Something's not quite right. Something's not going quite like it should be. We ought to come to those realizations. Not more than once. Because the Lord allowed Israel to get in place with the Midianites to help them recognize we have a need here on hand. And I believe the Lord does the same thing for you and I. He brings us into those places in life where we recognize I need something. I need the Lord's help here. I need His favor. I need His blessing. I need His strength. Dying is not easy. Think about Jesus in the garden, the cross that He was facing. Hard for Him to let go. Difficult. Difficult place. You know, we're all going to... Paul talked about one place that I die daily. You know, there's places where we've got to die if we want to live. We have to die to ourselves, which is the hardest thing to do. Self seeks its own way. Self seeks for its own pleasures, its own happiness. But self doesn't recognize that real, true happiness and peace is found in God, in yielding to God, in dying. You see that in the lives of people that just live so selfishly and just tenacious. They're not happy. The things hadn't satisfied them in their lives. And I want to challenge us today. I'm going to say death in the natural is not a pretty picture. We kind of cringe from that in the natural. But to lose our identity, that corn of wheat falling in the ground, losing our identity. You know what we can do? When we do that, we can begin to take on a new identity. The Lord has something more for us when we do that, when we experience. And I've noticed this in Abraham's life. The Lord called Abraham and said, I want you to go offer up your son. Isaac? Go offer your son, Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him for a sacrifice to me. Pretty challenging. Pretty challenging, wouldn't it be? Don't you think, would you think you'd have a struggle in your heart? You know, Abraham is not unique in that. Because the Lord will put things, His finger on things in our lives also. And Abraham made that journey over there, and remember his son. And you know what the beautiful thing? The Scriptures doesn't talk about Isaac, but Josephus relates Isaac was a young man in his early 20s. What was Isaac's response? Dad, you're off your rocker. Dad, I don't believe the Lord spoke to you. Dad, I don't believe this is right at all. This can't be right. You know, Josephus relates that Isaac was pliable in Abraham's hands. He didn't have to fight him to offer him up as a sacrifice. That is a literal example of what takes place to us spiritually. There are real places that we've got to offer up to God. There are real places that God will put His finger on in our lives and begin to talk to us. And it's important for us to... And then what did He tell him after He saw that he was willing? He said, "For now I know that you love me." You know, the Lord recognizes we love Him when we're willing to part with those things that are dear. When we're willing to go without and we're putting Him first, He begins to see that. He begins to see that He's the dearest. Another place Scripture says, "A man where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also." The things that He values, the things that are real important to Him, God wants to be first in our lives. He can bless us. He can answer prayer. He can help us all through life. But if our affections go out to other things and we begin to allow other things to come in, we're going to limit what God wants to do. You know, they say there's a trap that they catch monkeys with. And I've heard this years ago, but it was it's like a box, and they put some food in there. And the monkey reaches in the box and grabs the food. But you know what? The hole's too small to bring it out with the food. And they catch monkey after monkey because the monkey won't let go. You know, the devil catches people too, because we don't let go. We get a hold of something, we grasp it, and our affections get set on it, and we're trapped. And the only way we can get out is to let go and let God have His perfect will in our hearts and our lives. I'm very challenged this morning. I want the Lord. I want to hear His voice. I don't want just a religion. I don't want just a form of godliness. I don't want to just go through the routine. Sometimes when I think about Midian, I feel like, there we are. Lord, where are you at? We heard what you did for our fathers. And I believe the Lord is saying, I'm still here. I'm right where I've always been. But you got to go get rid of that altar to Baal. And I'll bless and I'll help you. Let's be encouraged and challenged this morning. The Lord can... fill us. The Lord can help us. There's a song that we sing. It says, "May the heart ties of earth be sundered, that I may thy purpose fulfill." Heart ties be sundered. Lord, help us today to put you first. Help us to give you our all. Help us to be willing to pay the price. Let's not walk away like the young man that had great riches. What Jesus told him, He said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. You know why? Why is that? That makes it sound like it's hard for people that have wealth to get into the kingdom. Why? Because they can't let go. They're holding on to it. Lord, help us today to put our all in the Lord's hands, let Him lead us and guide us. And I believe the Lord will help us. There's a song in the Blue Book, number 7. I'd like for us to sing that. Thank you for your attention.